I need you to.
Transit to traffic, our method of transport affects the music we love. Whether it be Trooper's bright white sports car or Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train, our ride can even bring us the fundamental inspirations for our music. Listen in to CJSF 90.1 FM at 2 to 3 p.m. on Fridays for Rock and Ride, during which we'll keep your ride grooving with underrepresented rock, both new and old, and take some time to tell you about the way the transport we use affects the music we love. My name is Sean McMeekin. Don't get stuck in traffic, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
And welcome back to CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Varian. Just before that PSA spot, I was playing a song by Britty called Lullaby. So this week, another returning guest, it's just my partner, Ava. Say what's up.
Hi. Another returning guest. I thought I was the first one.
I actually don't remember, actually, now that I think of it, because I feel like Kyo might have done two.
Okay, real.
Yeah. No, I'm not bringing other girls up here, if that's what you're wondering.
boys.
It wasn't.
Besides Kyo.
Yeah. Maybe Patrick, actually, too.
Yeah, okay, sure, because you and Patrick used to do this. All the time.
Well, I mean, Patrick and I used to did like a COVID podcast. Mm. Anyways, that's a little besides the point. I brought Ava this week, and yes, I said I brought Ava as if she didn't drive me, because it's not like my license is expired. but this week to talk about something we did, it was an activity we did for a class that she's taking this semester. We did a little bit of a death cafe this week, and we all met up and talked about death. Maybe I should get you to give some context on what your class is about and what is a death cafe.
So I'm a political science student, but I'm taking this humanities class called death dying or death, disease, and disaster or something like that. And it's one of the best classes I've taken, like, easily. The prof is amazing, and it's just super interesting. We talk about kind of ecologies of death, which looks at rituals of death in, like, past and present different civilizations. Looks at how death is interpreted, all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Diseases, how diseases have been interpreted, like religiously and such. Yeah. Just tons of stuff. Really interesting, really cool. But we have a final project, which I get to choose whatever I want to do. That's just not covered in depth in the class. And I'm not going to lie, like, when I chose to do the Death Cafe, I did that mostly because we had to submit a proposal, like, 3 weeks into the beginning of the term, and I was so overwhelmed with school, and I was like, okay, Death Cafe sounds really really easy, and I was just like, you know, get some people together, didn't really know anything about it, get some people together, talk about death, like, yeah, you know, call it a day, whatever, and then I had to, like, actually do it, but... So Death Cafe is, I mean, it is essentially that, you know, you get together, you bring people together and you facilitate discussion on death. I didn't really know exactly what it looked like until I had to actually do it, which came up very quickly. So it's mostly a group led discussion. Mm-hmm. It's pretty early, like I think it emerged in London in 2011.
Right.
As a way to reincorporate discussions of death into Western culture, because the West is seen to have lost a lot of that because, you know, separation of church and state and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the premise is really just like, you know, bringing people together over food to talk about death and to let people just say what they have on their minds and to create an open space in which people can express themselves in whichever way they'd like.
Mm-hmm.
So I got together some friends, Varian's roommate Patrick, a few friends of mine, about six of us in total, including myself. Got some snackies.
Yeah, the snacks were good.
Yeah. And, I mean, I kind of going into it, I thought it was going to be more, like, on theme and such, and, like, I had to prompt questions, but upon reading more about the Death Cafe format, it was much more like, you know, we believe that people have enough to say about death already, so... you don't really ask questions. You just kind of let it go where it does.
Yeah.
And you don't have an agenda. You know?
And I think, like, the important distinction, right, too, is that, like, it's not like a therapy session, right?
Yeah, this isn't like grief counseling.
Yeah,
this
it's not like group therapy or anything.
Yeah, it's very much just, yeah, I mean, talking about your experiences and, yeah.
And then I think it's like, I mean, I think also, I will bring up later about the podcast you listen to, but I think it brought some interesting... I think the concept of the Death Cafe brought into question certain things about, like, kind of Western civilizations, like, facing death, in that, like,
mm-hmm.
I think it was, like, cool to, like, talk about these things that usually you would, like, oh, let's not think about that, you know, or let's, like, not talk about that, you know?
Mean, yeah, we'll, like, we were both raised in religious households, but I definitely know that, I mean, you know, I feel like throughout my life I've been pretty, like, almost maybe death obsessed is, like, a big word, but definitely coming from a religious background, like, and I maybe complex religious background is in, like, multiple ideas within that. Death is an interesting one, and it's definitely been something that I've thought about for, I think, a long time, you know, like, we talked about in the cafe, like, oh, what was your first experience realizing that you were going to die and all that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it was really interesting, I think, to see... out of the group of us, all of us in our 20s at different stages, to see the diversity of responses to that, I think that maybe going into it, judging from my own experience, I was really expecting us to all kind of be like, oh, like, that's really scary. But I had some friends that were very much, like, came across as being much more comfortable, which
mm-hmm.
was really cool to
yeah.
see. I don't know. It was really beautiful, though. I think that I was definitely very moved throughout the entire thing, and I was very nervous beforehand, but very ecstatic on how it went. And I felt that there was something so special about being in a shared environment with people and all just, especially as friends, recognizing that, you know, what we have, you know, in our friendships and in our lives is impermanent. And I think creating a space where we can all recognize that as a group was just, I had never experienced it, like, something like that. I feel like I've tried, you know, you try to talk to death with your, about death with your friends sometimes, and it's like, oh, that's kind of crazy. But bringing people into a space where they're willing to, you know, they want to talk about this and they're kind of prepared for that. It was really interesting to just share that. It was almost like kind of, you know, kind of like a group mourning for me a little bit to kind of, I don't know, be in that position. It was interesting.
I definitely appreciated the fact that it was like definitely inquisitive more than anything in that like everybody is there to, I think also maybe like some, I mean, it, like the podcast you made me, I forget who was it?
Stephen Jenkinson.
Yeah, the Stephen Jenkins podcast you made me listen to about like having a good death and confronting death definitely like set me up for it. But I think it was like, well, I think the big thing that I was surprised is that, like, I was kind of expecting it to be kind of, like, a little solemn, and, like, I was kind of expecting to, like, leave it being, like, a little bummed, maybe, because I know that some people in our friend group definitely have, like, some very, like, visceral and kind of very, like, whatchamacallit, like, some very, like, maybe morbid's not the right way, but they have some very intense... Yeah, they definitely have some intense experience with death, and at least when I... I said that during... the death cafe, but like I haven't experienced like a whole lot of like deaths in my family, and so I was definitely like expecting to come away with it maybe feeling a little bummed, but I think it was very constructive. I think it was very like, I don't know, I feel like everybody kind of brought some insight to the table, and I think it like, I don't know, I kind of like the question at the end of like, you know, what do you, what would you miss the most, you know, like after dying?
I agree. I think I definitely learned some things even about my friends, that about their experiences that I had not known. And there was, I mean, I'm the same with you there. I haven't experienced a a ton of death in my family so far, thankfully. But definitely had some friends that had experienced quite a bit, and it was really interesting to compare perspectives based on that. But yeah, I mean, like, it was definitely, it was definitely a complex mix of emotions. Of, I definitely felt moved to tears, like, multiple times. And I think I was, like, kind of just like, oh, you know. But at the beginning, I think my opening question, usually when you do a death cafe, it's more kind of open to the public.
Yeah, it's,
I
like
was
not
very
guided.
So they, as...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Though
so,
you're not
yeah.
supposed to have questions, usually the opening question, according to the death cafe guide, is like, okay, like, what's your name and what you brought you here? And that's kind of the starting note, and that's kind of where they, and you just let it run from there. I didn't have that luxury, you know. So my starting thing was, you know, introduce yourself and then kind of describe your relationship with death as it pertains, like, yourself or maybe people that you're related to and such. And then I was like, oh, and I'll start. And then I really realized, like, oh, wait, how do I even, like, begin describing this? And it's definitely, I mean, there's just so much to unpack within it. But yeah, no, overall it was, I'm really excited to present on it.
It's leading up to an actual, like,
I do have to present this in my class. So this is, like, kind of a, you know.
Yeah, I'm warming you up for it.
It's my rehearsal. But yeah, I mean, afterwards, I think even just the week following, I was just so happy about how it went. And I was just, I was just felt so moved in that moment. And I was like, man, like, I need to go to these more often. And so I actually looked in. I thought it would be really cool. My assignment is to, you know, hold a death cafe, present it, write a reflection piece. I thought it would be cool to also attend somebody else's death cafe.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
However, I found it hard to find any in Vancouver. The last where I'd like... within the last like few years, like nothing super recent. I did see one that was on Green Burial, but anyways, whatever, side note. But yeah, I mean, it'd be cool to see more of those pop up and more spaces like that.
Yeah. I feel like I want to talk about like the podcast a little bit too, a little bit. Cause like, I really liked like Stephen Jenkins's like distinction of like,
oh my gosh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, sorry, I just love like, that podcast.
It's a good podcast. You should like pull it up later, maybe like link to the people, you know. Maybe I can, if you guys are so interested, maybe I'll link it in the like once I publish the
and you guys want to be interested, trust me.
It's a very good doc, but
banging.
I think I'll probably publish it in the if you go like on CGSS website, you can find like the open mic for today. If some of you guys are interested in listening to the podcast, I'll like link it in the description of today's podcast, so you guys can check it out. But I really like the distinction he made about like what makes a good death. And like I think that like it was interesting for him to talk about like, you think like what a, or maybe more so like the distinction with what makes a bad death.
Yeah.
And I like that like you assume that like a bad death is obviously like choking and screaming and like I don't want to go, but like I like that he quantified sometimes like a bad death is kind of like well, like, kind of holding on too tight to, like, your life, you know, and kind of, like, you know, I think I can't remember ad verbatim what the quote is about, like,
Oh, man, I'm bringing up some quotes right now.
Oh, worry. Yeah?
I got you. Okay, well, so this class I had to write, like, oh, my gosh, like, pretty much an essay every week to, like, write a reflection on all of the readings. Mm-hmm. And this was a week where we did quite a few beautiful readings. The podcast was one of those. Mm-hmm. But there was one really beautiful quote in that podcast. I made, yeah, like, I listened to it in class, and then I posted it on my Instagram. I was like, everybody needs to listen to this. And then I, like, made me very listed on our anniversary. Yeah. Like, we went out for dinner, and then we were walking home. We were like, let's go walk around the seawall, like, it'd be nice. And I was like, so do you want to, like, listen to the podcast about death? And he was like, sure.
Yeah, I guess so.
But a really beautiful quote from that podcast is, death is not the annihilation of your humanity, but its final flower. And I thought that was really beautiful, this kind of idea that your humanity and what it means in your existence is just so much bigger than your actual life.
Yeah, there was also the bit, I mean, we don't have a lot of time right now.
Yeah.
I just realized we're kind of coming down to the bottom of the hour a little bit, but I kind of wanted to interject a little bit. I really liked the, like, the rest of your life is not, like, from now until you die, but it's, like, also, like, I like him talking about, like, what happens after you die, and I like that there was a part where, so it's, yeah, it's, like, the rest of your life isn't just, like, the time now in between you die, but it's, like, how you kind of remembered and everything that's, like, happened after that.
I think a really beautiful concept that I got out of that podcast was this idea of ancestral grief, and that is, you know, you grieving the connection that you have in your life to your ancestors, people that have lived to get you where you are now, like, your connection to them, and also, like, how you will hold that space for the people that come after you. And I think, this idea that, oh man, I do forget there, because it was a specific quote, but I do forget what it was. But that the way that people remember you isn't, you know, the end of your life, it's the rest of your life. And yeah, I think this actually concept kind of struck me. We had, I think it was Chinese New Year. I went to Varian's house. Maybe it was Christmas, I don't remember. And we were having
Chinese
dinner.
New Year, yeah.
And Varian's family, they're all, like, reminiscing at the table about,
like, my yeah.
Yeah.
I think I talked a little bit about this on the podcast a while ago, but we, like, spent a long time just, like, talking about all this funny cheapo, like, Asian stuff that my yeah used to do for us, you know.
And I was sitting there, and I kid you not, I was, like, kind of, like, feeling a little bit emotional, because this idea just came back to me in that moment of, you know, these memories, what is happening right now, like, what I'm witnessing right now, like, you know, that's not a symbol of the end of his life, it's mm-hmm. the symbol of the rest of his life as it is happening, you know. Mm-hmm. The stories that you tell, the love that is kept, that's the rest of your life, not your 80s, you know, you're, like, diagnosed with whatever. That's the rest of it, and it continues on, you know. And I thought that was beautiful.
And then, like, to further on that point, I mean, there's a segment at the end of that the podcast where they're talking about, like, okay, one day they're going to create that serum, right? They're going to create the serum, and you're going to drink it, and you're going to live.
Oh, yeah, the immortality project.
Yeah, you're going to live, like, for the rest of your life. And I really liked the question he posed of, like, not that, like, what do you miss out by dying? But it's, like, what are you going to miss by not dying? Like, what do you miss out on?
If I don't die, what will I miss?
Yeah. And I think it's, like, exactly that. It's that, you know, I think it's that, like, reframing that, like, death isn't the end, but, like, you know, it's like you kind of do kind of go on and live in people's kind of consciousness, and mm-hmm. people talk about you. And it's like, yeah, I mean, you know, by not dying, you do miss out on some stuff, you know, you do miss out on, I don't know, maybe sort of like, I think, you know, it's kind of natural to kind of grieve about mm-hmm. your ancestors, kind of grieve about these things, you know.
Stephen Jenkinson would say that by not dying, I mean, he says this in the podcast, that dying is a central part of what it means to be human. And mm-hmm. by not dying, you take away what it means to be human. You take away humanity, and you are something else, and the context of what you are changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I can't imagine the implications of, like, can you imagine, like, going to visit your, like, grandfather or whoever, and you know he's, like, never gonna die? Like, I feel like maybe that takes away some of the, like, I don't know, that sounds, like, really morbid, but, like,
no,
I don't know how to, like,
true,
totally,
like,
frame this, like, you know, super well, but, you know, I think there's, like, something to, like, spending the time while you have it, you know. There's mm-hmm. like, yeah, you know, I think it akin to like my mom, like while my grandfather was like sick or whatever, was always talking about how like, you know, I got to travel with him one more time because sooner or later he won't be able to travel.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like things like that. It's like, I think exactly like kind of having that human aspect brings sort of that intimacy and mm-hmm. brings sort of that, like, you know, maybe some of the urgency urgency to like seeing your loved ones and like making time for that, you know? And, you know, cause it's like, I mean, ultimately I kind of think that if you were immortal, like, I feel like you would kind of care a little bit less about that person in a sense.
Yeah.
In the way that, like, you know that, like,
rarity equals value.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Yeah, so.
The podcast is Death and On Death and Dying, Stephen Jenkinson, by Campfire Stories.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a listen.
Yeah.
I could talk about this actually forever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, I could talk about death forever. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I will definitely link this for all you keeners out there in the audience. I will link it in today's podcast description. But alas, we are coming down to the end. It's so funny. I was listening to Billy Tuesdays before. I always say, like, I'm at the bottom of my hour, but Leslie always says, Leslie goes, we're at the top of the hour, which actually kind of might make more sense, right? You're at the top of the hour because it's like,
yeah, I would say bottom.
Off, you know?
Bottom.
The bottom of the hour.
I don't
but
know.
But now I'm thinking about,
because you're
like
dwindling. I don't know. I think about,
yeah,
like,
yeah, I look, because me as like me losing, not losing time, but like me winding down to the end of my hour, it feels like the bottom of the hour. But, you know, I think. Because I think the way that Leslie introduces it is like top of the hour, because there's the next program after she's like, oh, you should go
check
out.
We're at,
yeah,
after
like
this,
we're still,
it's only.
No, it's like, yeah, we're only going up from here.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it's a funny station. But,
the
yeah.
Final minute.
Bottom/top/ whatever you want to call it of the hour. I have 45 seconds. But, you know, if you like what you heard this week, be sure to tune in again next week. I'll be on at the exact same time, Tuesdays at what time am I? I mean, Tom at 3. So. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Ava, for coming on to the show.
My pleasure.
And I will see you guys all next week. Bye-bye.
Hey, my name's Katie. You want some cool new music to listen to? Want to know about up-and-coming artists, albums, and more? Well, come hang out with me every Tuesday from 12 to 1. Raccoon City's where I'll be. Hope to see you.